And that night, when it stopped raining tigers and room dividers, while those who came to commit armed robbery went away with a pittance, after the closure of the bitter cafes and the time for bordellos to start receiving their clients, when wicks had burned out in their lamps and the priests had returned to their customary pedophilia, when the rain got scared because bombs were running faster than the speed of light, a thick smoke made of bones burned over a soft fire and transformed into calcium Palestine descended and filled with despair the headman's thoughts, who then went to wash at their mother's place while their ears were hallucinating because they were hearing the celebrated trumpets of Jericho and confusing years with stars, horses with crabs. And the night refused to rain on the sheep's head, and we saw lightning mixed with clouds fattened on blood and tears, and matter started to speak directly with the dead who weren't anymore listening. And the people had no voice, and we walked on brambles, thorns and thistles, and our eyes exhausted the vocabulary of the shades of death, and therefore descended, following the rain, an angel for whom no one had a name. He started here and there to count the wounds and the amputations performed with kitchen knives, and the angel wrote everything on a book of gold and mud. This is why the sea spread, trembled with terror, compelled her waves to vigilance, as we heard barbaric instruments being played. We swore that we had to kill life and death, having already seen a space of tears and fire. No one exited alive from the camp, but thunder shook houses filled with children, and misery wore women's clothes, and no one stopped as everything that was alive was dead. We wrapped death in an oversized flag and lowered it in the mass grave that the city had become. The daily food of its inhabitants was the dry crumbs of memory. We shall not draw straight lines, but ask spring to keep a war diary. Ask autumn to take a seat among traitors. We shall light the windows with burning wax, but don't ask bats to show the road to desert foxes. Make ready the tracks that will take us to the slaughterhouse. There a feast will be held with kettles filled with lamb cooked in lemon and blood. A banquet is being set for the victorious generals, the one just described. The sun took the veil. It's a shoddy and efficient orgy of fury. A storm carried off the beds. Weapons for a kill are cooler than the surrounding air. They hurt, but don't scare. An evil from a new order was created in Jenin. Evil has gone through a mutation which is the opposite of the mutation we were expecting. We therefore are entitled to hate, but do not hurry, to stupid conclusions. We are not of that world. Forests are growing thicker. Night animals are breeding monsters. Evil has knocked at the door in the same night that the rain ceased to land. Boulevards were turning without gripping. Horses run and drowned for no reason. We are living within the star-studded perimeter of the nightmare which exasperates this spring's beauty. A spring inhabited with flowering trees, with damp mountains crowned with translucent clouds, and a breeze which keeps itself awake when our eyes lose their way from west to east through pink hills. Here is the sorrow of the people who are encircled by tanks and incarcerated in the glance of killers who moved through borders which are nothing more than the first lines of their multiple prisons. All that to only aggravate the beauty of a world possessed by another folly, impervious to our predicament. There's a tragic encounter between the death of some and the multiplied life of others, others being the frozen and happy waves of an ocean, having lowing its pleasure to be born eons before our pitiful consciousness. The difference between that which rots and that which doesn't stop being renewed stares at us. We live in abysses. Elsewhere, the fog engulfs the industrial zones. Emanations from smokestacks streamlining the horizon fill up the mouths of workers needed but declared undesirable. Gases burn their memories. They forget that before embarking on the boat, they had a name and an address. For their retirement, they will have incurable diseases. Up there on my single mountain, birds emit codified songs, fly in pairs, hit the air with their wings and joy. In our sealed heads, thoughts represent a vomit of poisonous gas and reward themselves. The primordial function of survival is providing excuses for death. That's why nature gave up on us. It remains inaccessible. What we tell about it is a pale reflection of its reality. We made ourselves strangers to our fate, though our childhood showed an exuberant lucidity. What happened to the past? Killers don't stop at the flesh. They aim at the invisible, our former bliss. In the meantime, the universe ages. Billions of years have gone by, and the stars are fighting for life. Their shine is no protection against their ultimate disappearance. I know that matter has no eyes, but it has not stopped breathing. Under the tombs, there is fresh earth. We saw rugs woven with vegetal dyes. One had the ochre color of the fate of one of the men murdered in Jenin. Don't worry, you won't have to contemplate either the rug or the corpse. During this time, while the enemy soldiers were working in the dark, The universe was aging with us, like us. In our final demise, we will drag God himself to his end. But for now, some rule, some disappear. Within the camp stands another camp, the degrees of hell fitting into each other. We are sitting in this station of comfort, contemplation, and renouncement. The white burn moves over bodies, each prisoner of his pain. Pain is immured in the bones in the body, and the body in houses walled in themselves. Above the doors, which are lying in rubble, there used to be inscriptions or a simple drawing. Blood and ink from ink pots have mixed. That's how the new writings are muddy. Over dispersed limbs, clothes, and pieces of furniture turned into hard blankets. Knight wondered if it were moral to hide such monstrosity, then made its decision. I will say suspended high in the sky, that last possession of the disinherited. Silence descended, and the absence of a stairway, it fell with all its weight, like lead. Some of those who had begun their mortal agony recognized that silence. They called their mothers for help, but the women were sleeping in the next room, their severed heads resting on cushions. Sohrawardi's handkerchief got stained. Weeks after the carnage, a young man was trying to learn from a book how to become a builder of cemeteries. But he never found a piece of real estate for the burying of the dead. He therefore abandoned his studies and joined an underground organization. No one knows where he is or if he is still with us. There is something more reduced than death, more absent. It is that which has been wiped out with the child's eraser on history's blackboard. History, the last illusion. In the cold of our unheated houses, we were keeping warm by the memory of our ancestors, thinking that our great-grandparents were demigods. Yes, for sure, nothing else. But they came, the bastards, to eradicate with bombs, to tell very simply that we didn't exist. They started with the olive trees, then with the orchards, then with the buildings, and when all had disappeared, they threw one on top of the other, the children, the old and the newlyweds, in a mass grave. All that to tell the world of the half-dead, that we didn't exist, that we have never existed, and therefore that they were right to exterminate us all.